Hey everyone, and welcome to the Cozy Club, a warm hug in podcast form for all the soft hearts out there. Grab a warm drink and join us for wholesome books, games, stories, and more. My name is Monica.
And I'm Reagan.
And we're so excited because today we're both freshly returned from our trip to Korea, so we're going to be sharing some of our favorite memories from our time there.
But before we dive into all of the juicy and delectable details, I don't know why I'm describing this as like a food episode. If you haven't already, subscribe to our podcast via your app of choice and leave a review if you feel so inclined, as it does help us out so much.
So I guess we could start off a bit by talking about kind of our itineraries, like where we both went, because we were both there for a few weeks. We were there together for 1 week. We both also had our own like solo-ish travels. So you went with Clay, right?
For sure. I did. So I came a week before the start of our group trip with Clay, and we primarily stayed in Seoul, but we did go to Busan for a few days, which was absolutely delightful. I feel like you went to a lot more places, which I'm excited to hear you rehash, but we did time it quite well with cherry blossom season, especially in Seoul for us, like with our timing. So we missed the cherry blossoms in Busan, but we were in Busan, during their bid for the World Expo. So like the World Expo. The World Expo people in town, the day I was in town. So I saw this like epic fireworks show that they had put on for the Expo people. And it was really special. So like, I felt like the city was a peak shape for visitors. Like everywhere in Korea, it was like beautiful. There was flowers everywhere. I felt like I was walking in an area like for VIPs. I wasn't the VIP. What I mean? Like they were ready and it was amazing.
So, same. Busan was so fun for that. It was so we went 2 weeks before. And the week before it was me, my mom, and my niece. And then the second week my sister joined us. So we had like basically three generations of like Kim women on this trip, which was really cool. And we went to a few different spots. So we primarily Seoul was like our main place that we spent the most time, but then we did a day trip to Jeonju, which was so lovely. And that's sort of like a more historic town. And they have like a Hanok village and all this stuff. So we went there and we did Hanbok and all that stuff. It was kind of like our trial for Hanbok. So that like when we did it in Seoul, it would be like hopefully a bit more relaxed. We like knew what we were doing. But it was really nice there. And then and we also went to Busan, also there for the expo bid. And it was, I loved, especially like being on Gwanggali Beach when they would do the fireworks at the bridge at night. It was just like so magical. So yeah, I loved that. And being there, it was peak cherry blossom. Like it was just, I just have this like distinct memory being in this cab, and he like wanted to take us through this like one section where it was just like tunnels and tunnels of cherry blossoms on the road. And like every time we'd go through another tunnel of cherry blossoms, my niece and I in the back would be like, wow. And like by like the fifth time, because it was just like, I don't even understand, I've never seen this many cherry blossoms in my life. By like the fifth time, our driver started wowing with us, and like in half like joining in on the fun, but also like definitely making fun of us. But we loved him. He was great. And he just like kept taking us through all the cherry blossoms. We also did Jeju-do, which is like an island off of the coast of Korea. And I've always wanted to see the canola flower fields, which are these like fields of like beautiful yellow flowers. And we had this tour guide who was like showing us around, and there's canola flowers like everywhere in Jeju. So like every time we'd go to a different place, I'm like, oh, are these the, is this the canola field? Like, is this it? And you're like, no, we're good there. And then finally at the end of the day, he like took us to like an actual flower field, and it was just like, my mind was blown. It was so beautiful. So I was so excited to like be able to see that, and then like the tulips. So yeah, we love a flower. So
we love a flower. If there's one thing about Monica and I, is we're basically old women. We love a stroll and we love a flower. Yeah. And when those two things can be combined, it's truly a next level experience.
Jeju was really fun. We were there for a short period of time. Unfortunately, I did get wildly seasick on the way there. Because we did also stop
Oh
in
no.
Mokpo, which is like a small town on the coast.
Well, it was really rainy when you were going there, wasn't it? I'm trying to think
Yeah.
like where our
That
trips
was the
overlapped.
only like really rainy day was the day that we had in Mokpo. So we went to Mokpo. It's not really a tourist destination, although they did film parts of Hotel Del Luna in Mokpo. The like building
Oh,
from Hotel Del
why?
Luna is there. So it was cool we got to go see that. But that was where it was like one of the only places where we knew my mom had like spent time as like in her youth. So we went to go there. Unfortunately, it was quite rainy and like not the greatest weather-wise, so it was a little bit of a downer. And then the next day was when we took the ferry from Mokpo to Jeju-do, and that was very, very choppy. My niece and I kind of died on that boat. It's like a 4 or 5 hour boat ride.
Oh
It was a
no.
rough day, but
Did you take the boat back or
no,
did
we
you
flew
fly back?
back, which was
Gotcha.
honestly also not great. It got,
Oh, was it
yeah, it was
choppy
really
too?
turbulent, especially like landing. I got my sister got really motion sick. I was also getting motion sick. I got like freaked out. I always try to remember there's this like TikTok creator I love, Anna Paul, who like has completely like changed how I view turbulence, because she did this video once where she like
I do
yeah,
love her.
and she was like talking about talking with this pilot, or talking about like a conversation she had with the pilot, and how like a plane has never like fallen out of the sky because of turbulence. And like the best way to think about it is that you're like in jello, like you're not going anywhere, you're just shaking. And so every time I get turbulence, I'm just like, I'm in jello, I'm in
A
jello.
giant, you're in a
Like,
giant
yeah.
jello
And
bowl.
it
Oh my God,
honestly,
I
yeah,
love
it's
that.
honestly like helped so
Helps.
much with my flying anxiety. But yeah.
I love
So
that.
that was my itinerary.
Of the places you visited,
Yeah.
city-wise, I mean, they're all so
Yeah.
different. So I'm not even asking you to rank them
Yeah.
against each other, but like if there was moments, I guess, from each one that you felt like were favorites, let me know, you know?
I don't know. I really loved Busan, but I think my expectations for
Me
Busan were like really
too.
low.
I loved
Yeah, it
Busan.
was so cool.
It was so charming. I loved, initially, like, there were so many beaches. It was so beautiful. I thought, just like walking around, I feel like in general, and I'll talk more about this when we get more into the highlight section, but there were so many beautiful places to take a stroll or a hike if you want to. Hiking is like a huge part of the culture in Korea. Also, we did a like an all-day tour in Busan when the weather was terrible. It was
Oh
pouring down rain all day, but our tour guide was so great.
yeah.
He has lived in Busan for a long time, but he's actually from Houston.
Amazing.
So it's like so funny. He's like, "Where are y'all from?" Or he didn't say it. He's like, "Where are you guys from?" And I would say like America, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, where from?" And we're like, "Oh, Austin, Texas." He's like, "Oh, I'm from Houston." And so we were just talking. He like spent a lot of time in Austin, so it's
That's
just
really
funny.
funny.
So we had a lot of he was a cool guy. And yeah, we just got to explore all over Busan, and like his perspective was really interesting on things. Just I feel like I love a tour because I love to see things and walk, but I'm also dumb. Like I don't know everything about everything. So to have someone kind of narrate, fill in the blanks, be there to answer questions was so cool. Oh, also in Busan, when I was on one of my many strolls, I saw this lovely older woman wearing this vest that I thought was so rad. I was like, that is a cool vest. It had like veggies on it. I was like, I'm obsessed with that vest. And then I was in a market. Lo and behold, the vest was there. So me and this auntie now
I
match. I
love
bought it.
that.
Another thing I would say that surprised me in general. So going over, I felt like I was expecting to have more like culture shock, in the way that I was like, oh, it's gonna be this really big, it's gonna be different, it's gonna be so
Yeah.
different. And yes, there's lots of things that were super different, but I felt like Seoul as a city was like very navigable. Everyone's really friendly too. I felt like it was just a lot easier. I felt to maybe navigate streets and things like that than I was initially
Yeah.
expecting. Also, it's so
Yeah.
clean. I've never been to Asia before, and the city is so clean. Like, I can't even emphasize. It's like you go to so many places that are community oriented, like for the public. And in America, you often go to those places and like there's trash everywhere, or like, you know, the few kind of messing it up for the many sort of situation. Not a trash piece of trash in sight. Everyone's like respectfully trolling along, strolling along. Like I remember you and I were walking along this like really cool stream, kind of in like the city center, like a business district. And it's like, we were walking, we were like, if this was in New York, it would be like, it would smell like urine.
There's a lack of like collectivism in the West.
So I was just like overwhelmed by how respectful everyone was to the spaces we were in. And it was just really enjoyable.
No, I feel that. I think for me, it was like kind of, I'm still like unpacking all of my emotions from it. Cause it was my first time there. And it was my mom's first time being back in like 50 years. And I very much tried to go in with the mindset of like, this is not a homecoming. Like I always think about that. Recently, one good example of this is actually in White Lotus, the most recent season. You have that Italian family who go to Italy and they're like trying to track down like their relatives, and it doesn't go the way that they kind of expect it to go. And I feel like that's really indicative of like a lot of the way that, like, I always say this word wrong, but diaspora people like feel when you go back to the like quote unquote homeland, because it's not really your home. And I think that was like, we kind of had some like weird interactions that, especially for my mom, I think were a little hard for her because you know, we look Korean, and so that tourist experience is just like a little bit different, I guess. And so we had like one lady who's like really unkind to my mom, actually, and it was like, it was rough. And there were like a couple instances of that where, I don't know, I feel like I'm still unpacking my feelings about the whole, like the experience as a whole, because it was like so fun, and like I really like Korea and I knew I was going to, but also at the same time, like there's just complicated feelings there too. And like also just seeing, I guess, like witnessing firsthand the cultural differences of like how like diaspora Koreans versus like I forget what the word is, like Koreans like who live and grew up in Korea. It was just interesting. It was just just still trying to like figure out how I feel about it all and how I want to like talk about it. It's going to be a little bit.
No, I think that makes complete sense. And it's a good reminder that, you know, everyone's experiences in different places based on their own like personal experiences are also going to be different, which I think is important to discuss too.
Absolutely.
Should we go into highlights?
Yeah. Monica? Do you want to talk about, I mean, should we start off with like maybe some of our food highlights?
Oh yeah.
Because I feel like we both have a lot.
I think that's a great place to start. I definitely feel like eating was the primary, well, one of my primary focuses with going to Korea. Should we start with just cafe culture? Yeah. I feel like they have mastered cafe culture.
They really
have.
I simply do not understand why cafes like that don't exist in other places. I've been mourning my daily strawberry latte. It's rough.
Oh my God. Just the drink. So it's like multiple parts, right? Why their cafe culture is superior. First off, it's the environment that cafes create. It's almost like every cafe to be in business needs to be a vibe. And the vibe can be a variety of different things. And it's not like a shtick. It's not cheesy. It's like well crafted and well done. And they stick to the theme. It's, you know, there's so many times I feel like I go to New York or something. You're like, ooh, that place sounds cute. And you go and you're like, oh, it's just kind of whatever.
Like,
you know
feels,
what I mean?
I feel like
it's like a poor representation of the theme.
Like, I feel like when you go to something like that in New York or anywhere in the West, it just feels like an Instagram thing.
Yeah. They just have like a photo set up in a corner and they're calling it, you know, XY experience. No, you know what I mean? And I just feel like so many times in Korea, I went to so many cafes that were so thoughtfully curated. And we're not even talking about the menu or the coffee yet. Just like the experience of going there. They're also open so late, like kind of a late start. One big difference, and the only thing that I don't know if I agree with, is like it's kind of hard to find a cup of coffee at like
Oh my gosh, my mom was so upset about that.
It's so weird. Like, that's the only thing that worries me. It's like, oh, you want a cup of coffee? They open at 11 a.m. I'm like, hello. But they are open really late, so
Which is
that's cool
nice.
too. Like after dinner, before, like between lunch and dinner, like there's so many places to
And there's
spend
so many like
time, you know?
activity ones. Like there's ones where you could do knitting or you can draw.
Pet a lamb.
Yeah, pedal. Did you go to that one?
No, I wish I did. Did it fulfill your
Well, so
dreams?
I went to one animal cafe, and I will say we did not like it. I think because like the last animal cafe I went to was like kind of like a rescue situation. So like, yeah, and this was like definitely not that, and it just kind of felt sketchy. And yeah, so we weren't there for very long. We kind of like went in, kind of sussed out the situation, and ended up just kind of leaving. Yeah, and alas.
And yeah, is the
That
raccoon
was the
one?
raccoon,
That's too bad.
yeah.
Raccoons are
One
cute. Their
day,
little
I'll get to
hand.
meet a raccoon.
I
It's
love
my dream.
raccoons. I love them.
Yeah.
They look like
Me
little
too.
bandits, you know? They're gonna
I need
steal
to find like a
something.
raccoon sanctuary and go there.
Yeah.
That's what I'm gonna
No
do.
rabies, just
Yeah,
vibes.
that could be their tagline.
Fantastic marketing. But I think going into phase two, outside of the vibe, and we can talk about our favorite cafes at the end. But then also the menu is fantastic. Not only do you have like the tried and true drinks that you kind of see everywhere, but they usually have like unique and interesting lattes, their fruit drinks. They have these things called aids that are stunning. It's like sparkling
Fruity
water with like
as
fresh juice, like fruit syrups, like everything just felt fresh. Everything felt well made. And then, because there's this law in Korea where if you're eating somewhere in person or drinking somewhere in person, you have to use glassware. Everything came like beautifully presented. It felt so much more cozy to drink. Like I was at a Starbucks at a train station. I ordered a latte because I had some time to kill. And it came to me in this giant mug, whipped cream, divine, decadent. And I'm in a Starbucks and I literally feel like I'm in this like delightful little cafe. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. The menus were like just amazing, especially as someone who like I really can't have caffeine, and so my options are usually very limited in the US, where
They have
like
so many.
all the options are either just like coffee or alcoholic beverages. And it was just like really nice to have so many options that were completely like caffeineless. And they were delicious. And yeah, being back here and not having those options anymore, quite devastating.
They do love to use the term latte a little
Yeah.
loosely because they'll have like fruit lattes, but there's no espresso in them, which is great for
Actually,
non-caffeine drinkers.
truly.
But it's like a milk fruit combo, which are delicious. But check to see if there's espresso. Just because it's a latte doesn't necessarily mean it's caffeinated. The other thing I would say that I found consistent too is the dessert element of it, so delicious. And I also loved cafes that kind of did that like serve
Oh,
yourself
yeah.
thing. Like you would have a tray and you would have this like beautiful table just overflowing with delicious looking pastries. And it's like, I feel like I'm in like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Like that feeling as a child of like, look at this abundance of choice, you know? My oyster, and you're just like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get this scone with raspberry jam and this Earl Grey chiffon cake, and like
Absolutely.
you're just stacking it up, and then you're ordering some type of delicious tea, and then you hand it, and then they bring it to you, and it's just so wonderful, you know? I miss it. I miss that
I definitely
already.
think my favorite for that was Cafe Laird, which is like I think like has multiple like cafes under different names or something in Seoul. But they I feel like they just like got it. I just like desperately want people in New York, like whoever opens cafes here, to go and
To do
like
it.
study Cafe Laird, because it's like the set design. Like it truly feels like set
It's
design, where it's like
beautiful.
it doesn't feel like some cheesy like Instagram thing. It's like really there to make you like feel the way that the cafe
Cozy.
wants you to feel. Like it truly feels like actual set design, like really thoughtful. And
I feel like any cafe that's supposed to be like Instagrammy in America is just like pastel or
yeah.
like bright neon colors with like a neon sign. And it like doesn't have to
Yeah,
be
it's more
that.
like
Like I feel like so many
2018.
cafes I went to in Korea. Yeah. I feel like so many cafes I channeled in Korea was like, or visiting Korea, were really trying to channel that like almost like Miyazaki, like a very romanticized, like what do you want your dream cafe to be? You know, when you're strolling the street, you go in somewhere and get a dessert, you want to feel that it's like been there a while and it feels cute and it feels cozy and comfortable. You
Yeah.
know what I mean? And I felt like so many cafes just kind of had such an inviting
They really
feeling to
take like
them.
immersion very seriously, which I
Seriously.
appreciate as someone who loves immersion more than anything.
Jumi told us too, which I thought was interesting. Korea is the third largest drinking of coffee, like in volume in the
Yeah.
world, and like relative to their population, it's like very
'Cause yeah, the other
impressive.
countries
Because
are
I
the
think it's like
US and
America
China.
and China, which I thought was an interesting fact. And like if you go around, like you can tell that coffee is very important to just the
Yeah.
everyday, you know?
Also, for those listening, Jumi was our amazing guide who like
Oh,
basically saved our
where would I be
lives
without
throughout our
Jumi?
time in Korea. We loved her.
Jumi for president, Jumi for. I like literally almost get emotional with the thought of like never seeing
Yeah.
Jumi again. I love Jumi. Shout out to
Yeah.
Jumi. Outside of cafes, did we want to talk more about just food items that we really love to
Yeah,
have?
what were your favorites?
I just feel like Korea knows a soup. You know what I mean? If there's one thing that Korea can do is a jjigae, you know? And so I just felt like I was souping it up. I'm a soup
Yeah.
girl, so I just felt like any opportunity I had to get a warm bowl of something with some noodles in it or cold noodles, like it was just so good. And the broths, I was just thriving. So I think one of my favorite meals was this Michelin guide restaurant we went to on one of our first days, like outside of the main palace complex. And we get there, and there's just like probably like 50 orange seats
Yeah.
outside because people line up very quickly. And we got there early enough, where we kind of had one of the early seats. I was like, oh, you know. And then all of a sudden, it was literally like 100 people waiting for this noodle soup and mandu, the dumplings. And I was like, oh, okay, I think I've picked well. Like this got busy
Yeah.
fast. And we went in and we sat down. It was so good, so flippin' good. And I also love that there's like soup sharing culture. So now I get varieties of soups with every meal.
Amazing.
Like, just get you some little bowls, order some soups, share your soups. It was great. I had a great time. Obviously, K barbecue, I really enjoy. But I would just say all the soups I ate, so many soups. Couldn't tell you some of the names of those soups, but I do will tell you. They will live in my heart forever.
Love that. Love a soup. I think for me, so my favorite thing that I ate the entire time was, so I grew up with my Harmony, my grandmother, when I was little, and she would make spicy marinated raw crab, and it was one of my favorite things. And
Oh,
especially like, I
yeah.
think because I ate them so young, I didn't really get the like, oh, this is weird factor that I think maybe some people would feel today, because it is like gooey, like because it's raw, and you have to like suck it out of the crab shell, so it's like a whole thing. And so I was on a mission at some point to like try and find like really good spicy marinated crab. And we were at this market and we were walking around, and there's this one like stall, and this lady had a bunch, and I was like, and it wasn't really for you to like eat there. It was definitely like banh xiao that you're supposed to like take it home. It was like, this is where people go for like to grocery shop. But I was like craving it. I was like, I need to have this right now. So I like literally bought like two crabs from this lady, and I just like ate them in the market. And it was like a full Ratatouille moment where like I was like, God, it just like tasted exactly like the way that my Harmony used to make it. And it was so good and so spicy. It was like everything that I have been dreaming about for like years, literally years. So that was definitely like my favorite food moment of the whole trip. But so that was my favorite food moment. I also just like loved the like ease of finding fresh duck, which is like Korean rice cakes. And I love duck. It's like one of my favorite. I just love the texture. I love the all the different like methods of cooking it. And like being able to find like and finding it fresh, is so like just on the street in any restaurant, like finding fresh
Yeah,
food everywhere.
it's everywhere.
It's so nice. And then randomly, I had probably the best Italian food I've had in years in Korea, which I knew like going in, like Koreans are really good at like Italian food. It's like a thing. And so I knew that, but I just like I didn't conceptualize it. And then my mom was like craving Italian when we were in Busan. And I was like, okay, well, let me find a place. We went to this random restaurant, and it was like genuinely, so my niece got the gnocchi, probably the best gnocchi I've ever had, like in and out of Italy. Like this random restaurant in Busan had the best gnocchi. I don't understand it.
I mean, I feel like it
Yeah.
tracks. You know, Italy got noodles from
Yeah.
Asia to begin with, so they're already making lots of delicious noodles. Throw some different sauces on
Yeah,
them, like.
it was so good. It was insane. So,
Because I ate some Italian food in Korea, just like, and it was always damn good. Like I was like this is so good. Bolognese sauce or like whatever it is we got. Because when we went to Namsan Seoul, North Seoul Tower, I climbed up like the 900 steps, and Korean children were just flying by me, and I was huffing.
I can't believe
I was
you
like, I'm
climbed
so
up.
tired. It was literally my idea too, so I couldn't even complain. Normally Clay's like, oh, we should do this, and I'm like, oh, fine, and then I'll be like a total bitch the entire time. But this time I couldn't, because
Because
I
you had
literally was like,
ideas.
oh, the line for the cable car is really long, like let's just go up, it can't be that bad. Meanwhile I'm like sweating profusely, and this man who goes on the Stairmaster and walks like a million steps a day because he just loves it so much is like, oh, just I'll go your pace, it's fine, whatever. And I'd be like, stop talking to me. Anyway. Anyway, so we go up, we look around, it's wonderful, great viewpoint. It was actually like there were so many cherry blossoms when we did it the first time. It was actually like really nice. When we got to the top, I noticed there's actually a shuttle you can take this entire time. Funny discovery, which we did take later. And I would recommend, if the cable car line is too long, if you ever find yourself in Korea, there is a shuttle. It runs rather frequently. It's just a bus. It saves you a lot of steps, a lot of steps. But on in the tower, there's like restaurants that are actually like well reviewed. Normally I just skip any restaurants that are in a tourist destination because it's like bubblegum shrimp or something. But there is this Italian restaurant, and I was so hungry and I was so tired because I climbed up all these steps, so we went to it, and it had this like, you basically sit against a, like you're stare, you sit next to each other and you look out a window and you just like look out over Seoul, and like the it's like kind of like a private booth. It was really nice. And we ordered pasta and I fucking slammed it. I was like, this is delicious. I don't know if it's because I just climbed 900 steps or what. I'm feeling great. Also, I look awful, sweaty. And like, there's just a bunch of Korean couples in there, like beautiful, having dates. And then there's Clay and I, like these sloppy Americans, just slurping back our food. And like 10 minutes, you know, we just eat so fast. Anyway, it's the whole thing, but it was very good pasta. It's a little bit of a diatribe, but here we are. It was good. I recommend eating some Italian food if you ever go to Korea because it
It
kind of
does slap.
slaps.
It's really good.
So, outside of food, I think universally my favorite thing, and this is just in general always one of my favorite things, but I loved their park culture. And I just feel like, I know we kind of touched on this, like collective, like how clean and well kept everything is, and just like collective society, and just like how people care about these public spaces and just in maybe a different way than we have here. But they also just make beautiful parks. And I love parks. I love spending time in parks. I love walking around parks. I love being amongst the people. I love being amongst nature. I went to so many parks, and they were all so varied. And they were all so beautiful. I think my favorite park was, what is it called? North Seoul Forest, Seoul Forest Park. It's called Seoul Forest Park. And I went there during peak cherry blossom season, but it was also just a beautiful park. And if you go, we went again during when the tulips were blooming at their like peak, and it was beautiful for another reason. But like structurally, as parks go, it was so well organized. Like they had sections for enjoying flowers. They had sections for enjoying the cherry blossoms. They had just general like traditional park sections, big lawns, places to sit, places to lay. And it all backs up to this like beautiful area for shopping and cafes. So you can have this like lovely nature stroll and then go get a delicious coffee to go or enjoy it at a cafe and walk around. It's right in the heart of the city. It's a huge park. There's like a sky bridge that you can walk on top of the park. It was just such, I went there twice. I could spend all day, both days in this park. It was just really lovely. And I would just say across the board, like the walking paths in Busan, for example. And if you love to hike, there's so many hikes everywhere for you to just go into the mountains, just right out of the city. Like you don't have to go far at all to like have a great hike or to feel like you're in nature. And I think the contrast of how, not even so much the contrast, but just the accessibility of like nature in a super modern built up city, and the variedness of it was just wonderful to me. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I loved Seoul Forest. It was so beautiful. I love getting to like explore it with everybody too. And that whole area was just really nice. I think that's like the one place that like I didn't stay, that I would love to like in the future when I go back to Seoul, like I definitely want to stay in like the Seoul Forest area. It was just like
I
so
agree.
nice.
It was
Yeah.
beautiful.
I think my other favorite thing, honestly, my favorite part about like my trip when I was with my family was honestly just like walking around with my mom, and like when she would point things out, like I remember going to the palace in Seoul, and there's like the whole like outside area where you kind of they have like what's the word, like kind of just like a house that like people would have lived in, and even just like some of when we went to places like that outside of Seoul, because like those would be more akin to what my mom would have lived in, would be like places with like thatched roofs and stuff. Like she very much lived in the country. And so every time we'd see like this house that seemed very like old school or whatever, she'd be like, and we'd be like, oh, is that kind of like a house that you would have lived in? And she'd be like, no, like you'd either be really rich or like in the city if you lived in something like that. And that was really interesting. But like she would just like point at things and be like, oh yeah, this is like back in the day, like this is how we would use this. Or even like there's this one moment that like really struck out to me, and I knew this story already, but kind of having her tell it in this place in the moment was really emotional. And so we were like at the palace, and there is this like just hay, like pile of hay, and she was like telling the story about how when she was like really little, her family like hid her in this pile of hay, and she stayed in there for days, basically hiding from like North Korean soldiers. It was this whole thing. And so, and it's like, you know, there were moments like that, and there were fun moments, and there were, you know, just like lots of different things like that. And I think for me, like that was what those were probably like more than anything were the things that like really meant the most to me, like in the experience. But
No, I mean, I'm sure just being able to have all that time with your mom specifically, and like being able to have, talk about memories or experiences from her childhood and stuff like that, I can't imagine how that would add just an entirely different layer to the trip itself.
yeah, this is really special. But did you have any favorite shopping experiences when you were in Seoul
Oh,
or Korea in
shopping,
general?
shopping, shopping. Yeah, definitely. I would say I was a big, I've single, I definitely helped the Korean economy in regards to stationery and skincare. It's just so hard because their shops are also in the same way that like cafes are so thoughtful. I'd say a lot of the stores are just so cute. And you go in, you're like, wow, everything's so cute. And then you just walk up, and there's like a wall of stickers, and you say to yourself, I've never really used a sticker any day in my life, but look at all these adorable stickers. Maybe I should start using stickers. Maybe if I just buy some, I'll start, I'll bring a little joy to my everyday life. And that's how you end up with 10 packets of stickers that you've bought over the course of your trip in Korea. But I have no regrets in that regard. I bought notebooks, I bought some stationery items, pens. I bought these midliners, which are apparently very popular, and some great
Oh, the
colors,
mild
but just drop
liners.
one on the ground. Oh, is that how you say
Yeah,
it?
they're the highlighters, right?
Well,
I love those.
yeah. Oh, yeah, they do say mild. I forgot, I didn't see that L with my dyslexia. No, I got some really nice colors, which I'm excited about. And then I'd say skincare. There's Olive Young in Korea, which is kind of like a Sephora, I guess. And then you kind of end up on skincare, Korean skincare TikTok, and you go, Olive Youngs are everywhere. I can't, it's like McDonald's in America, it's like Olive Young in Korea. They're everywhere. And each Olive Young might be sold out of different items. So then you get this collector's mentality, like Pokemon. Like you're like, oh, I found this item. I'm gonna buy it. Oh, I'm in a different Olive Young. Oh, I finally have been able to find this. It's been sold out everywhere else. Like, I gotta buy it. Like, who knows when I'm gonna stumble upon it again? And then you just end up with so much stuff. So I really did just primarily buy stationery and skincare and that one Ajumma vest. But outside of that, I was pretty good. But I had no self-control with skincare. What about you? I feel like you bought a lot of clothes, right?
Yeah, I definitely bought a ton of skincare and makeup. I was like stocked up on all my faves, so that was great. Got some new bits. Definitely fell for the Olive Young propaganda on TikTok.
I
So,
know. And like everything's a little bit on sale
yeah.
too, so you're like, oh, it's a good
It
deal.
is. So, yeah, I got a lot of that, and then I randomly, so I got my nails done in Korea, which was really
Oh,
fun.
yeah.
And I just like I've been really wanting to get into like doing my own gel nails at home anyways.
Oh, yeah.
So I ended up spending so, like way too much money at like this gel nail mall basically. And it was like everything you could ever possibly want if you want to be like if you want to be doing like nail art was at this place. And like I love Korean nail polish because it just like I don't know, I love the like sort of jelly polish style that they have and the colors that they do. So it was really nice to like stock up on a lot of that. And then I did do a bit of clothes shopping. I think my favorite though is definitely so my friend owns this store called Hoya in Seoul. And she basically creates like modern hanbok that anyone can wear. And she does them in all different kinds of sizes. And her designs are so beautiful. So, and like she has like all different kinds of designs. Like she just recently, I think, is about to launch or did just launch like these tops that are like traditional Korean tops, but they have like puff sleeves. And they're just like so cute. So I ended up getting two like sets from them and they're so beautiful. So I think those are my favorite like things that I bought. And then
I loved those
yeah,
sets. They're
I'm so happy with
beautiful.
them. And I'm excited to just like mix and match them. And I love the idea of like, you know, being able to pull inspiration from this like traditional style of dress into like modern clothing that like anyone can wear. Like you don't have to be Korean. That's her whole thing. And so I love that too. So
Yeah, her stuff is, I mean, when you
yeah.
unboxed it, I was like, wow, it's beautiful.
So we both did our like travels before, but we were also there because we were hosting a trip together, which was really cool.
And all of this also transfers to this incredible group of people that traveled
Yeah.
with us for a week as with our incredible tour guide,
Our
Jumi. We
icon.
predominantly stayed in Seoul, our icon, our savior. We did go to Jeonju as well to explore the Hanok village there. It was just a blast. It was so fun to meet everyone. Everyone had a lot of like similar interests from books and just general vibes. And you know, people came from kind of all over the world too, which was pretty
Yeah.
cool as well. And I think it was just such a fun experience in terms of group travel. And, you know, I also think going to a place like Korea can be intimidating if you don't do a lot of travel or solo travel there. It could be maybe more intimidating. So to have the opportunity to grow with kind of a group of people was
Yeah,
really,
I
really
agree.
fun.
I almost felt like I kind of wish that I had done, like, if I had, I mean, I'm very happy that I, like, you know, got all the timing with the flowers and everything, but it's like, it would have been so much easier to do the group trip first because then you would, like, know how to operate everything.
Oh
But
yeah.
yeah, it was.
Jumi was the expert. She knew everything. I wish we did the group trip first, because every time we go to places, Jumi would say something like, oh, I did not know that. Clay did not know that. We missed this whole
I
thing.
felt that, yeah. And it was also just like really, I like I would definitely do a group trip again just because, like, one, it that camaraderie was so nice, and just like getting to know everybody, like, that was it was just like so special because, like, I feel like you don't really get experiences like that as an adult very often, you know, like it's something that is so kind of like that, you know, it's like that summer camp kind of vibe.
It was. Everyone's kind of getting to know each other. I would say probably one of my favorite moments too of the trip. We did karaoke, and it was like kind of like a late night. So we were all singing and drinking and hanging out, and it was just like so boisterous and fun. And I literally, in some ways, felt like I was like in college again. You know what I mean? Like it's like one of those situations where you find yourself with surrounded by new people, like doing something that maybe is a little outside of your comfort zone, and everyone's just leaning in, and it
Yeah,
was
I
a blast.
agree. It was really fun. Any final favorites or anything that you want to do that you didn't get to do? It's like, oh, I need to go back so I could do that.
I want to go to Jeju really bad. I didn't get the opportunity to go to Jeju. So, when and if I go back to Korea, Jeju is definitely on the
Yeah,
itinerary. Definitely going there.
that's real.
What about you?
I want to go back to Jeju and I want to go like in the summer now that I've done, you know, we did spring, we did the flower fields, but
Oh.
now I want to go like proper summertime Jeju-do experience.
Resort.
Yeah, that's a dream now. One day. Well, on that note, I think we're going to end this episode there. It was so fun sharing all these memories with you guys.
It was a blast. It was fun to reminisce too. I feel like it already feels like so long ago, even though it was not
Yeah,
at
no, I
all.
feel that. Do you have any exciting travel plans coming up that you're excited for?
Well, I'm coming to visit
You
you.
are! Oh my gosh, we're so excited.
For Taylor Swift, and
Woohoo!
then it's really just my wedding.
Which is
So,
also very exciting.
half it out. It is. Yes, indeed. Excited to get married. You heard it here first.
Amazing. Well, thank you all so much for listening, and we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Stay cozy.
Bye.